I'm Wendy Ring.
And I'm Brian Curtis.
And this is Cool Solutions, a show about people protecting our climate from the bottom up, with stories about climate solutions that work where we live.
Each month, we'll introduce you to a powerful climate solution and take you to where it's happening. Our webpage will have information you can use to bring this solution home to your family and community. Let's get cool. For today's cool solution, we couldn't resist a nod to the season with an episode about energy vampires.
There's a sign next to a light switch at Humboldt State's Campus Center for Appropriate Technology saying, "How would you feel if I turned you on and walked out of the room?" It's a humorous way to deliver the message, "When you leave, kill the lights." But what if there were electronic devices that can't be killed? Energy-sucking zombies, which appear to be dead, but secretly continue to drain our life force. These are the energy vampires. Instead of two fangs, these vampires have two prongs. They surround us at home and at work, masquerading as innocent electrical appliances. And they feed on our energy 24/7. There's more than one way to slay a vampire.
Wooden stakes, silver bullets, cutting off its head and stuffing it with garlic.
We've got better ones. On today's show, we'll go on a vampire hunt,
explore our relationship to energy vampires with an environmental psychologist,
and show you how vampire bat technology can help us stop the energy drain while hardly lifting a finger.
David Caneda is an architectural engineer who designs green buildings. He had his first encounter with energy vampires back in the year 2000. He and his colleagues were remodeling an old bank in San Jose, California, into an office for their firm.
Our big focus is designing green buildings, so buildings that are trying to be healthy and good for the environment and great places to work. And we wanted to walk the walk, not just tell other people to do it.
Creating a LEED Platinum green building wasn't enough. They wanted to do something more, something that hadn't been done in an office building.
Back then, there wasn't even a term for what we're going to try to do. We wanted to do a really, really super efficient design and offset all of the energy that the building uses over the course of a year with a photovoltaic system. So we ran around our old building and measured everything that we could measure that was plugged in. So that was, you know, everything from coffee pots to printers to computers to screens and things like that.
That's where they ran into a big problem. An entire roof covered with solar panels in the bright San Jose sun couldn't generate enough electricity to feed all their power-hungry office machines.
We didn't realize that when you do these super efficient buildings, it's like half the energy that the building uses is going to the plug loads, because you cut out the lighting's way down, the air conditioning and heating goes way down. So if you do this really high efficiency building and you don't attack the plug loads, those vampires are huge.
This is Michael Klopfer, technical director of CalPlug, the California Plug Load Research Center at the University of California at Irvine. CalPlug does research to improve the energy efficiency of the devices we plug into our electrical outlets.
Since the 1950s, there's been a perpetual increase in the number of devices. The cost of electronics has dropped and the availability has increased. And a number of these devices, to make it easier for consumers to use, have standby modes, and these standby modes tend to draw energy.
A lot of energy. Electricity drawn from power outlets has grown from 1 to 2% of office electricity use in the 70s to 30% today. At home, we now use more energy powering our plug-in devices than we do on heating and cooling. A 2015 study in Northern California found that the average home has 43 plug-in devices constantly drawing vampire electricity.
This trend is accelerating as more and more formerly inanimate objects like light bulbs, coffee makers, toasters, dishwashers, refrigerators, even mattresses gain connectivity and join the Internet of Things.
The information provided by these smart devices could help us find energy vampires and stop them. But standing by ready to connect by Bluetooth or Wi-Fi requires, you guessed it, standby energy. So we're just breeding smarter vampires.
There's vampires everywhere, standing by.
We're surrounded. How do I know a vampire when I see one?
An undead device will have one of these telltale marks.
Crouching on top of your TV.
Set-top boxes like digital video recorders, satellite and cable boxes, and game consoles are among the highest consumers of vampire energy.
You can see its eyes glowing in the dark.
Anything with a digital display, clock, or status light is using standby power. Your microwave, for example, uses more energy running its digital clock than it does cooking your food.
It can be controlled from afar.
Any appliance that operates with a remote control remains in standby mode when not in use.
It has a detachable tail,
otherwise known as a charger cord or external power supply. Even when a device's battery is fully charged, a charger cable continues to draw power.
It has a soft-touch keypad.
It has blue teeth.
What?
Internet connectivity. But each little blue tooth only takes a little tiny nibble, so how bad could it be?
This is David again.
Think of a printer, right? Even if it's using a fraction of the amount of power when it's in standby, if you're only printing a few times a day, then you're only using that much higher number for a couple of minutes, and the other 23 hours and 50 minutes, it's using the standby load. So energy use is kind of like the watts times the time.
The U.S. Department of Energy did the math and came up with the following statistic. 75% of the total energy these appliances consume is used while they're turned off. How much does this suck? That Northern California study I mentioned before analyzed smart meter data from 70,000 homes and found that on average, nearly a quarter of a home's electricity is consumed by appliances that are not in use.
Extrapolated to a national scale, this is the equivalent of the electricity output of roughly 50 large power plants. In dollars and cents, depending on local utility rates, that wasted electricity costs each household $165 to $440 per year.
The energy vampire's bite hurts some people more than others. Low-income, Black and Latino families and renters pay a higher proportion of their income for electricity and are more likely to live near polluting power plants. So vampire energy is not just a concern for people with a lot of high-end gadgets. It's a matter of economic and environmental justice.
Meanwhile, back in San Jose, David goes on a vampire hunt.
We came up with a list, went through it, looked at more efficient equipment, and estimated we could cut the number roughly in half.
By hunting down and replacing his most voracious energy vampires, David cut his building's energy use down to the amount of solar his roof could produce.
We did those types of studies on several other projects, and in most cases, we're finding energy savings somewhere in that magnitude of 40% to 60%. It can be cut down if you do that kind of homework.
How do you find your home energy vampires? We'll show you after this station break when we take you along on a vampire home energy audit.
I'm a vampire, babe.
This is Cool Solutions, a show about climate solutions we can do in our homes and local communities. Today's show is about slaying energy vampires, those devices that continue to suck electricity even when they're not being used. Hi, I'm Wendy Ring from Transylvania Gas and Electric, and this is my friend the Count. We're here to do your home vampire energy audit.
Wow, it's not every day a Count comes to visit. I'm Bob Smith, Count. I didn't quite get your name. That. I'm Bob. I didn't get your name. That! He's dressed like an old-timer. Maybe he's hard of hearing. What is your name? Yes, exactly! Your friend seems confused. It is you who are confused. We are what we eat. I eat whats, so that is my name. Oh, welcome to my home, Count What. You count. I eat.
We're starting with the bathroom. Electric toothbrush, electric shaver, and nightlight.
At 1 watt each, 3 watts to these toothsome morsels. This is my bedroom.
Clock radio.
7 watts.
Cordless phone.
5 watts.
Let's go in the kitchen. Gas range.
2 watts.
Microwave.
5 watts.
Coffee maker.
2 watts, so appetizing I cannot refrain from the salivation. This is my home office.
Desktop computer, 9 watts. Monitor, 3. Computer speakers, 5. Plugged-in laptop, fully charged, 50 watts. Laptop charger without computer, 26 watts.
Now the juices are really flowing.
Inkjet fax, printer copier, 10 watts. Cell phone fully charged, 4 watts. Cell phone charger cable, 1 watt.
Wonderful, but I am not yet fulfilled. And the living room. Or as we vampires like to say, the room of the living dead.
I'm glad to see you have all your entertainment devices turned off.
Such a pity. I miss my favorite radio program. But what? Don't tell me.
DVD or Blu-ray, 11 watts.
Xbox, 13 watts.
CD player, 18 watts.
Stereo, 25 watts.
Television.
48 watts.
DVR.
44 watts. This really gets my juices flowing.
Cable or satellite box, 30 watts.
And then there are the kids' rooms, with more laptops, smartphones, and AV devices, for another 114 watts.
The temptation is too much. I must indulge in a little taste. Please excuse loud sucking sound as Transylvanian expression of gratitude for excellent meal. I hate to eat and run, but I am late for my blood group. Check, please.
That'll be 350 watts of continuous standby power, or roughly 3,700 kilowatts per year.
Wow.
That's the climate equivalent of driving over 6,000 miles. Or to put it another way, it would take 3 acres of forest to suck in what your vampires suck out. But don't worry, Bob. There's things you can do. You may want to swap some of your vampires for less thirsty ones. Not all electronics are created equal. For each type of appliance, some are slurpers and some are sippers. For example, according to the U.S. Department of Energy, the standby energy used from televisions ranges from 115 watts to 1/10 of a watt. Microwave standby power ranges from 2 watts to 1/100th of a watt. Here's some shopping tips for replacing thirsty vampires. Follow the example of energy-conscious institutions like Kaiser and the University of California and choose devices certified by the Green Electronics Council. Energy Star appliances also tend to use less standby energy. Take advantage of new, stricter standards. Noah Horowitz is a senior scientist at the National Resources Defense Council, but really, he's a vampire tamer. His focus has been on taming one of the most voracious household vampires, the TV set box.
Most households in the U.S. subscribe to some form of pay TV from either their cable, satellite, or telephone company. And when you sign up, you get a set-top box. And in some cases, there are two or three in your home. When you turn off your TV and your set-top box, that set-top box really isn't going off. It's continuing to consume near full levels of power. The good news is a voluntary agreement was signed between the service providers like Comcast and DirecTV, the companies that make the boxes, and environmental groups like mine, the NRDC. And this has helped to drive down the power being consumed by these boxes by about 25% nationally and close to $1 billion in energy savings. If your set-top box is 5 or 6 years old and you have several in your home, call your service provider and tell them you want a new, more up-to-date equipment that uses a lot less energy, and that way you're not paying as much on your electric bill.
If you're buying a new computer, you might want to wait a few months. California's first efficiency standards for computers go into effect in 2018. The new computers will cost about $18 more, but save almost $75 on electricity over their lifetimes, and will prevent $13 million in climate damage and avoid $8 million in health costs from air pollution between now and 2030.
As the sixth largest economy in the world, California's appliance standards have a big impact on what manufacturers produce for everyone. But we could still do better. The European Union has even stricter standards requiring that all computers, TVs, audio and video equipment, dishwashers, and microwave ovens use 0.5 watt or less in standby mode.
We could solve the whole vampire energy problem just by unplugging our appliances when we're done using them, but we don't. As a climate activist, it always makes me feel like a hypocrite. I tried putting all our cell phone chargers on a power strip so we could just flick the switch, but then we forget to do it. And then we've got the vampire draw of the power strip and the draw from the chargers. So why is this so hard for us? Reuven Sussman is an environmental psychologist at the Behavior and Human Dimensions Program of the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy. He conducts research on how to get people to save energy.
I guess we're like zombies sometimes. We just kind of mindlessly go about our business and do our habits without really thinking about what we're doing.
So we're in California, and after years of drought here, No self-respecting Californian would walk away from a dripping faucet. But we just don't seem to feel the same about the electricity leaking from our outlets. Psychologically speaking, what's the difference between water and electricity?
Electricity, unlike water, is invisible, more or less. It's hard to see with the naked eye. And so you really need a feedback device in order to tell people how much they're using. Water, you can tell when the water is dripping, when you can tell when you're leaving the water running. But with electricity, it's a lot less obvious.
And I was wondering if there's also this psychological sense that electricity is, in and of itself, a clean form of energy. We don't really think about where the electricity comes from. We associate electric cars as being inherently cleaner than carbon-burning cars, even though that electricity might be generated by a carbon-burning power plant.
I think what it comes down to, again, is this notion of visibility and feedback. You don't see coming out of your devices a stream of black smoke. You don't hear the combustion. You don't realize that electricity could be dirty.
Feedback, especially the kind that compares us with people we know, really helps.
There's, of course, the O-Power program, which is the most well-known, most common behavior change program implemented by utilities by miles. And that's simply sending people notices in the mail that just say how your electricity use is doing relative to other neighbors. And simply by showing people that they're doing worse than either their average neighbor or their efficient neighbors or both, you can get people to reduce their consumption. Millions of Americans now receive these reports. They've saved the equivalent of many coal-fired power plants worth of electricity just by sending people reports periodically. So I think that that's a really big success story.
If they did that up here, then we'd also know where all the indoor grows are in our neighborhoods.
I have a friend who bought a Prius. They've created their own game where Prius gives you a real-time readout of your gas mileage. And so they set a threshold for themselves, and they were just like, I'm going to try to keep it above 50 miles per gallon, and that's just a game that they play with themselves. So is there potential to develop softwares or things like that that encourage and then reward that sort of behavior vis-a-vis home electricity use?
I have a similar story. It's so awesome. Whereas people used to be really excited about going faster and getting more powerful cars and just getting to places quicker. If you have kids, you know, the kids would be like, drive faster, drive faster. Well, my friend has a hybrid, and now that they have this thing like energy leaves, the better you are at driving ecologically, which would be basically like driving like a grandma, the better you are at that, the more leaves you grow. And so the kids in the back are like, you're growing so many leaves, keep going, drive slower. And I think it's great that these gamification strategies have really led to a tangible change in behavior. There's a lot of games like this coming out now. There's apps in which you can create an avatar, and by saving energy and different things, you can give your avatar upgrades. There are fun ways to encourage action.
Energy Chickens is an energy-saving game for office workers. Each staff member gets a flock of virtual chickens. Each bird corresponds to an electrical device under their control.
If you saved energy compared to your past use, we will be healthy and grow.
And we will lay eggs that you can use to buy things on your farm. If you use more energy...
What's happening, little guys?
You use too much electricity. Here's the data for your computer, the task light, and the laptop.
Okay, little guys, don't worry. I'll help. I'm closing down the devices which I'm not using.
I was really taken with it, but apparently it didn't really take off. Didn't fly.
Maybe you should make energy penguins.
Build those low expectations right into it.
Well, the success is pretty modest compared to the amount of vampire energy we're burning. Successful feedback programs like O-Power only reduce electricity use by 2 to 3%, and the best energy-saving games only cut power use by 3 to 4%. Not to say that these gains are insignificant, because a small percentage multiplied by a large number of people can yield a big total, but the growth of vampire energy far outpaces these conservation efforts.
We need a way to stop vampire energy that doesn't depend on us humans, a way to out-vampire the vampires.
We've got one. Vampire bats, who really do exist, but only in Mexico, Central, and South America, have heat sensors in their noses. Like other bats, vampire bats hunt for food by means of echolocation or bouncing sound waves. But Once they've zeroed in on a victim, they use their infrared sensors to locate the spot with the best blood supply. As the bat takes a bite in that delectable spot, a local anesthetic in its saliva keeps the victim from noticing. Another glycoprotein in the bat's saliva, appropriately called draculin, acts as an anticoagulant and keeps the blood flowing as the bat laps it up. Take the same kind of heat sensor, put it in a room, and connect it to an outlet's electrical supply. When that room is occupied by a warm body, the electricity flows freely from the outlet. When the person leaves, the flow of electricity shuts off. Heat sensor, float control, painless. This isn't sci-fi. As of January 2017, California's Energy Building Code requires all new commercial buildings, hotels, and high-rise apartments to have half of their outlets controlled by these occupancy sensors or timers, which shut off their power when rooms are not in use.
You can also buy special power strips called Advanced Tier 2 power strips to do the same job in your home or office. In addition to occupancy, they use infrared to detect signals coming from your remote. If the room is empty or the remote goes dormant, it turns off the power for you. The best place to use advanced power strips is in office spaces and entertainment centers where there are clusters of hungry vampire devices. California Plug Load Research Center at the University of California, Irvine did field tests on these advanced power strips at 100 households and offices and found that they cut energy use of connected devices 50%. That saves enough money on electric bills to pay back their $50 purchase price in 1 or 2 years.
Much cheaper garden variety power outlets let you cut off vampire energy to a group of appliances at the flick of a switch. If, like me, you just can't get in the habit or your power strip lives behind the couch, there's an answer for that too. Tier 1 strips have master and slave outlets so that turning off one device shuts off power to others. So, for example, you could shut down your computer and it would automatically stop vampire power to your monitor, speakers, printer, and fax. This may be unrealistically retro, but as a doctor, I have to make a pitch for dumping our remotes. We know that prolonged sitting increases obesity, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and premature death, even in people who exercise. Getting out of our chairs to change the channel would be good for us and the planet.
So find the vampires at your house.
And replace them.
Unplug them.
Or connect them to a power strip. That's 3 cool ways to slay energy vampires.
If everyone does it, we could close down 50 fossil fuel-burning power plants.
That'd be cool.
Very cool.
Hopefully cool enough to prevent vampire bats from moving to North America.
Nyak, nyak, nyak.
You've been listening to Cool Solutions. This is Wendy Ring.
And Brian Curtis. Thank you to our guests today, David Caneda,
Noah Horowitz,
Michael Klopfer,
Reuven Sussman,
and
Matthew Atkins.
Visit our show webpage, khsu.org/coolsolutions, for more information on finding and stopping your energy vampires.
Cool Solutions is produced at Humboldt State University in the studios of KHSU.